So, brother, again, it's a pleasure to be here. And as announced by Brother Peter, our subject is these sayings of mine and following the words of Jesus. So, and as we follow him, we know as we're going to get into our discussion that we have to apply those things that we study on. And again, this saying of mine comes from, as you realize, I'm sure we've studied it before, Matthew 7, 25, 24 and 25. In concluding his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And so the Master compares really a zealous obedience to his teachings, to come from the Heavenly Father, of course, to work of building, and building solidly upon that rock, as we've mentioned. So these sayings of mine, and I think, why did I pick this subject? Because there's so much violence, hatred, corruption, lack of, character, presented, by the world of mankind. Day to day, we come in contact as we're out and about. And so I just think that it's good. I know we've studied these before in our ecclesias and maybe heard discourses probably about this, but the importance of applying these things, the word of Jesus, right from the Master's mouth as he had received them from his Heavenly Father. So we go to the back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We have the Beatitudes and the blessedness. Blessed are they and so forth. And so we're going to get to those quickly and then we'll develop our ideas. This emphasizes the need for humility of heart. The poor in spirit, heartfelt sympathy for the groaning creation, and possibly, again, we include partially the world of mankind, but our focus is on the brethren who are mourning, going through difficult trials and experiences in thy namesake. And we hear many. In every meeting, we have somebody bringing, remember this brother or sister in prayer. They're going through difficult trials, health, and other circumstances. So we want to remember them. And we mourn because we have this heart, our love for them in our heart, deeply rooted in our heart. And so we care about every aspect of their life and we want to remember them. And so we also have that teachableness, the hungering, the thirsting after righteousness sake, divine mercy and love. And that's the merciful. Sincerity, blessed are the pure in heart. We have to have not only say, oh, you're pure in heart, you have to have the intentions of the heart pure. And then again, it leads to speaking words of love and devotion to the Heavenly Father. And again, sympathy, love, and devotion to those in the household of faith. So we have, again, we're hungering and thirsting. We desire these things. And we realize that that's that word of truth also. That's that water of life that we take in and we're refreshed. And we can go on and continue our life in a way pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So the pure in heart, faithfulness in the ministry of reconciliation, the peacemakers. And we want to be part of that. And that zeal in light bearing, which results in persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted. As far as possible, we are to be let patience and peace with all men live that way. Romans 12, 19. Just a little quick sidelight. A couple years ago, I was in line in the grocery store. And there was a man, he had a few things, I had a lot of things, and I said, "Well, sir, why don't you go ahead of me?" And he looked at me, and I thought, "Oh, no, I'm going to get a lecture." He said, "You know, young man, no one ever called me sir before. Never in my life." This is probably a man in his 80s. So, again, we're looked at by our how do we conduct ourselves out in the world, day-to-day experiences? Now, it's easy, probably, in a meeting like this, convention, to show that character. But what about our daily lives? And as we've mentioned, I think, in discourses in the past, we have to be the same person here in this gathering and then outside of this gathering, the same person, right? Loving, kind, considerate. So the pure in heart, we want to make sure that we're striving on that way. And also, Jesus continued and said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," and warned against losing our savor. So that's how do we hunger? Are we still hungering and thirsting after righteousness? We don't want to lose that savor. The truth appeals to us. We're drawn to it. And we want to be filled up with that most holy faith that we know is pleasing to Heavenly Father. So that zeal, light bearing, which results in, again, we said persecution, trials and experiences. And as you are the salt of the earth, it's evident that the reference here is made, which our Lord has given to us, namely His truth and the spirit of the truth. So you have the truth. Truth, know the truth. The truth will set you free. Not free from your burdens, not free from your sacrifice, but knowing that you have now a standing before God, excuse me, and that you've vowed that vow of consecration to do the best you can each day to serve the Heavenly Father, uplift your brethren, and lead a life along the truth and righteousness. And that's what we want to do each day. So we are to make peace with all men. Again, this is not something that's just words. It has to be put into actions. And also, if you don't have that spirit of the truth in the body, you look for ways to be teachable, to develop, and be zealous, you could lose that truth in its spirit. And again, it's displeasing the Heavenly Father, as we all realize. And so Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the light of the world." And then He bids us to let our light shine before men. And you know that, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Certainly we have no good works of our own. For the best show of righteousness we could ever hope to make would be as filthy rags in God's sight. And obviously this would not cause men to glorify God. And that's Isaiah 64:6. So these good works then must be just as the Master indicates, the letting of a light shine. And while Jesus refers to light through is ours, in reality, it's the light of the divine work. It comes through our Lord Jesus, as we know. And as darkness hates the light, this is another persecution. Do you realize you're getting persecuted when you're letting your light shine? The darkness hates the light. And so the world of mankind is not going to respond in a way, manner, pleasing to Heavenly Father. And we want to do the best, again, each day to help that. Excuse me. All right. So how wonderfully does this light really glorify our Father? It is really, it's a reality. It's exact. It's the truth of His plan. And so it's revealed in the infinite wisdom, mighty peace, exact justice, together with, and reveal His glory, these things, the attributes of the Heavenly Father, which He uses to help those of the household of faith go on. And so this word of life is therefore referred as these sayings of Jesus, which are obligated as His footstep follows to follow. We're obligated to do that. And again, we are to be builders of righteousness. So we see that these sayings, Jesus' message, His teachings, His character, this is what we're developing in our own lives. And with His help, we will develop that. He's promised, no good thing will I withhold for those who trust in Him, those who truly love me with their heart. And you've given your heart to the Lord in that consecration vow. And so, as we mentioned, as we just started a few minutes ago, and do with them. So you have to do them. Remember, be a doer of the word and not just hearers. And so, not to be only doctrinally informed, but He's looking for such character development as will bring us into full harmony with His teachings. And so that's our desire. And so continuing, Jesus spoke against breaking even the least of these commandments, those commandments which magnify the law and made it honorable, and also teaching others to do so, Matthew 5:19. This is an admonition against compromise in connection with any part of the word of truth. I'm not going to mention the person who it was, but someone told me that was in the truth. The trouble with Bible students, they don't do enough outside reading. So all the outside reading we need to do is in the holy word of truth, right? And we don't, the world of mankind can't really teach us things because they've fallen just as we're fallen in nature. They are also. So I'm not going to get that joy, that love, that comfort spoken by the world of mankind. It doesn't exist in there. And so it's against, again, we want to uplift one another. We want to help one another. It's an admonition against, again, that compromise in things. We're not compromising, but we're listening. We listen to opinions. And again, Since there is no part of the truth in the divine plan which does not have a bearing on how we serve the Lord, the principle underlying of this statement of Jesus is loyalty to the whole truth. And again, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that's that whole truth. It's brought out Old Testament, New Testament, parables, Beatitudes, teachings, and so forth. So it's that loyalty to the truth, divine truth. And that's what we want to have in our lives. Seeking it, using it, digesting it. And in a way, we're hopeful that every disciple of our Lord, of reigning with him in the kingdom. But Jesus said that we would in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven unless we, our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. We've had words spoken about that already this week in Matthew 5:20. And so they made an outward show, as we know, seeking the best places in public gatherings and so forth, wearing those phylacteries, which had the Ten Commandments on them, and they were embroidering them, adding jewels. And that's superficial. So when the Heavenly Father looks at our heart, it's part of that molding, shaping, chiseling process that we're developing. And he slices off parts of that gem, in our character, if we're willing to submit to him fully, and we must, and have, again, confidence in the Heavenly Father that everything is working out to good to those that love him. Again, those called according to his purpose. So we see that we realize, again, we want to be sincere, loving, considerate. These are all parts of the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit, as we have had mentioned already also this week. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added unto you. So let us draw nigh to God with a pure heart, a sincere heart. Hebrews 10:22. It implies a continued effort, living up to our vows of consecration. And we are to keep our heart with all diligence. Again, for out of it are the issues of life. We know those words of our Lord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So these sayings of Lord Jesus continue in his admonition of sacrificing every precious thing in the interest of righteousness, because everything we have rightfully belongs to the Heavenly Father. And so our time, our talent, our energy, our all the preparation for this convention, it's pleasing in the Lord's sight. Those who traveled and made sacrifices to be here, that's pleasing in the Lord's sight. So we realize again that we have to have that love. And if you have love, it's going to be shown. And we realize also that in the Bible, well, that was Matthew 5:21-28, continuing those sayings of our Lord. But if we say we have love, it's going to be put to the test. If we say we have faith, it's put to the test. Devotion, put to the test. Brotherly kindness is put to the test. And again, you have a period to learn these things and apply them, and then they're going to be put to the test. Are you faithful? Are you trusting? Are you loving? Are you kind? So we don't want to listen to, though, the murmurings of the flesh, because we realize that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so we realize that our the things in our life are provided by the Heavenly Father, and we want to shut out the flesh and the old mind and develop that new mind, that new heart, that new attitude. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So continuing in our sermon, Jesus follows one saying after another, such as divine injunction against taking oaths contrary to the will of God, and how the law of love operates towards those who smite us, and should even, again, be our enemies. We should love them. Love your enemies. You know, do good to those who despitefully use you. There's so many things about application of these wonderful sayings of our Lord that we can develop them through our Christian walk, the entirety of our walk, and that's important. So, again, be perfect. Again, we can't be perfect now, but we can have intentions as perfect as possible in our lives. And, again, intents, motives. And for us, and it's brought out in Matthew, again, 31-48. So nothing short of purity of heart, intention, and will can be acceptable to God. And another one, which I know you realize, is that the model prayer. Included in these sayings of the Master is also the model prayer which his followers have been using throughout the entire gospel age. And those who have a mind to work, then as they're praying, they have a mind to work, as we said, to work and be faithful, teaching, uplifting, praying for one another. And again, for those in the world and also us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A simple prayer, perhaps we learn it as children, but we've added to that because as we've matured and grown in faithfulness and devotion, we have a more sincere heart. So give us this day our daily bread, the finest of the wheat from the rich storehouse of our Heavenly Father. That is ours to partake of. And once you partake of it again, is that the end of it? No. You have to digest it. You digest that truth and it strengthens you. It strengthens you. It invigorates you. And realize again that there's a great need for divine forgiveness in our lives. And so we forgive those also that trespass against us. And then, brethren, I want us all to, in the days ahead, according to this will, remember the importance of having an active prayer life. We should begin each day and end each day with prayer. We should pray in circumstances of the day that may come up. And again, all matters of life are important, great matters and small matters. Take to the Lord in prayer. Cast your care upon him because he careth for you. There are prayers of thanksgiving, Ephesians 5:20. Give always in all things thanks to God. Thanks to be to God for this unspeakable gift. And each day we should be thankful, and I know we are, and express that we're thankful for this gift of the only begotten Son of God who died to take away the sins of the world, the greatest gift ever given. And so it's confession also in prayer. A sinful man acknowledges his disobedience, Psalm 51:1-3. And sometimes we say, have mercy upon me, O my God, wash me from my iniquity. And sometimes this is during the night watches, the times when it's only you and the Lord, and you open up your heart to him in prayer, knowing that he'll hear your prayer and he'll help you along those lines. Just prayers of thanksgiving, as we said. And we want to, again, this unspeakable gift makes all this, the prayers possible. The answer to prayer will come in a way pleasing to the Heavenly Father, because he's nigh unto them that are of a broken and contrite heart, which in our studies we know that's a sincere sorrow for sin. And he wants us, although he knows our needs, he wants us to express it in prayer, in adoration, and again, in trust the Heavenly Father. So submission, and as we've had, I think this scripture came up yesterday even this one. Example of our Lord, he prayed in the garden just prior to his arrest, and he said, not as I will, but as thou be done. And that's our same attitude. Matthew 26:39. Search me and know my heart. Psalm 34:18. Well, he knows your heart, but he wants you to rely on him, to look for him in guidance and direction. And because what? A saying of our Lord Jesus, and one really perhaps the most exacting, is that we're not to lay up treasures on the earth, which is corrupt and are pastimes of an hour, but in heaven. And so this is hard because we want to make a living. We want to live in a home that's comfortable. And again, the real security though is found in the promises of God. And we realize this so much, I know. Of course, there's reasonable provision to be made for those, again, dependent upon us, our families. We have extended families much more today than we did a few years ago. And again, thine eye would see both evil and good. And we want to dwell in the good things in our brethren, the good things of character traits and to help us in our life each day. Matthew 6:22-23. So we have, again, a reference to a wholehearted service. Nothing short of that is acceptable. And as we realize, there's a single eye that's mentioned in the scriptures. The eye would suggest this first, the kingdom of God and the assurance of the heart intention toward God. It clears the spiritual vision, depends upon this. Full of light, And we have clearness of spiritual vision in proportion as we have loyalty to the Lord, the lightening of the influence of the spirit of holiness, the spirit of love. And we cannot serve God and mammon, as we know is brought out in Matthew 6, 19 to 34. So we are told in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, we do not sit in judgment upon others. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you are judged, the way you judge, you will be judged by the standard. And again, the measure in you will be measured against your character if you find fault. So in another saying, Jesus indicates that the urge to criticize and judge others might well represent a hypocritical attitude. Again, as I said earlier, same here in this meeting as you are out in the world. So not to say words of discomfort, help, and console and uplift a brethren. And again, we know that one. We have a mind to work, not to cast out the mote from our brother's eye, but cast out the beam in our own. We've studied this before with a holier-than-thou attitude. And if you looked at any nominal Christendom preachers, they're full of pride. They're full of look at me, how wonderful I am. We have 50,000 in attendance in our meetings. And I asked, the lady asked me, well, you go to church, your church. I said, yes. Where do you meet? Well, we meet in homes. We run a place and we may have 50 there. She said, well, we have 100 in a chorus alone. How could you have the word of truth? Is it judged by how many? Or is it judged by those who are sincere in heart? Those who are seeking after truth and righteousness, to keep pride from fastening itself to them and causing us really to take pride in ourselves, in our development, in our mature judgment, in ourselves saying, wow, that was a wonderful comment I made, wasn't it? Heavenly Father's judging every aspect of our life. So we want to make mature choices, mature judgments, and he helps us to sort out the things that are not pleasing to him in our life. So that's Matthew 5:7, 1 to 5, as I already mentioned. So, helping one another, sympathetic, not stumbling each other, but uplifting each other. And you see it, in the meetings, and coming up here, someone needs help, brethren stop and they help them. We had a brother in our class who worked in a hospital, actually. And as he was coming into work on the sidewalk, he fell and broke his hip. At least 20 people passed by him, never said anything to him. And finally, one person came and said, you're hurt, you need help. Yes, I can't walk, I can't move. And he helped them. Out of 20 people, one person helped. So we see that example that's displeasing the Heavenly Father. And also we want to be dispensing holy things of the Word of God. Use wisdom and not cast out these things in our life. But again, develop them. They'll bear fruit if they're watered, if they're nurtured in the way pleasing to the Father. So the deep, precious things of God belong to the new creation, which others in the world can't understand. Build up one another in this most holy faith in Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we realize that we're urged to approach Heavenly Father, to ask our Lord, as we mentioned in about our little section about prayer, to ask, to seek, to knock. And what happens? He's there to answer, but he has to have us approach him. And because he knows, again, the end from the beginning, he'll grant us what we need to grow spiritually. So give up those things on the earth as we have been doing. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, you edify one another. And in Luke 11:13, Jesus indicates that the chief burden of our petitions should be for a greater filling of the Holy Spirit. It cleanses us, it strengthens us, it quickens us, and fashions us into the divine image. So we realize that that's our goal, strengthening our trust in the Heavenly Father. Strengthening our understanding and application, and the good things are given to us by our Heavenly Father and His Son. So build this house. Remember our in earlier comments that Jesus showed that it's important to be founded upon the rock. And Paul really shows the importance also of this, to build with good material. 1 Corinthians 3:12. So we realize that the rock is Christ, and Christ and with the apostles following him, learning from him in day-to-day experiences and getting the Holy Spirit of understanding, realizing in their course of walk in 1 Corinthians 3:11, as Paul says, other foundation can no man lay, which is laid in Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful for that. We see that foundation being built, and it takes what? It takes effort. It takes devotion. It takes your time, your attention, all those things. And if you do these things correctly, you'll receive a reward. Now, we're in our lives, as we mentioned, you have to be zealous of good work, zeal, that enthusiasm, that each day, no matter if the truth is being brought out is like milk and proceeding to meat. And what is the strongest meat? I think it's love for one another. That's strong meat because it's unfeigned love. It's true love. We had those good comments by Brother Tim yesterday about love. We're thankful for that. So let's look at being zealous of good works. And we realize in Nehemiah 4:6, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. So if we go back just briefly to the Old Testament and see an example of zeal, we realize that in this, we're talking about the walls. The work at the time was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And they had to have a zeal, an energy, a desire, and work thoroughly on this and be focused on it. So the work of, again, it was the building the walls of Jerusalem. And the Jews had returned from captivity 70 years, and they had to have these things. So the king made it possible to have this wall worked on, proceed with the work, go on with the work. And again, the Jews that were loyal to Nehemiah caught that spirit of an occasion. And again, against hazard, against shortcomings, against problems, against the wind and the rain, you know, false doctrines in our life, and the water that could be stagnant, water that's polluted, not the pure water of life. And so in our own way, we have to have a mind to work. And those loyal to Nehemiah were caught in the spirit of the occasion, and again, they cooperated in the work. Because why? As we mentioned, they had a mind to work. And what they did, though, was how they got it going. They offered a prayer to the Heavenly Father, help us in this great task. And so there was difficulty, but the work of the Lord in our lives is not, it's never accomplished without difficulty. Again, the flesh is resistant to sacrifice. The old man and his ways coming to play, ideas that are not proper for our growth and development. And that's that fight that we have to fight each day. And so we realize that again, the basis for our faith, trust in the Father, look for opportunities for service. And so the work really of God during this present age has been the building of a literal, not literal city walls, but rather, the building of his people in their most holy faith. 1 Corinthians 3:12-13. So we're encouraged to build an enduring structure. And Paul explains that. Build on these things. Strive to use gold and silver and precious stones, not that hay and stubble that the wind would blow away, the winds of doctrine, the change. And so we have our minds centered on these things to get this work done. And yes, we're given many illustrations in order that we may comprehend all that is involved in this work. And we're divinely commissioned to do so. And one is that the bride make herself ready for the marriage. The church is the responsible, respect the bride in preparing herself to be united with the Lamb, which is Christ. in Revelation 19:8. This illustration we realize has to do with each one, each member of the respective bride has a work to do, but there's also a collective work that's being done at the same time to make the bride ready. The marriage was makes herself ready because she has also a mind to work. So those who have a mind to work will not only be seeking an easy, not to be seeking an easy way out, but seeking a way to serve him. And these sayings of Jesus is not an easy task to complete in our lives. At the cost of weariness, again, as we mentioned, sacrifice, and finally, life itself. You vowed a vow to give up the earthly rewards. And so you're seeking, again, treasures in heaven. Another one of this, these sayings, which is, by their fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7:20. So love, as we mentioned, is the principal thing, the fruit of the Spirit. And it is really not difficult to detect growth and development in our brethren. You see, once in this, you maybe not have seen for a few years, you see their growth, their level of devotion, and it's a model for us to follow and to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, as we mentioned. And also, these sayings have to be kept. And this should be really a way to do that by asking, help me, guide me, direct me, as we said already. And the Heavenly Father answers those prayers. Show me the way, and he'll show it. We had mentioned the great shepherd, our Heavenly Father first, then our Lord Jesus, and they follow his voice. They do it willingly. And as we said, there's exploiters there in the world, and they might creep in. We had one in a meeting place. I was with a class, and three men came, and they were throwing out all these names of brethren we knew from all around the United States. And they came a couple of times, and they were really reporters. Everything they told us was a lie, and they were trying to show that we were a cult. No, we weren't. We didn't have the truth. We didn't know God's plan. So you have that was so subtle because the brethren thought, oh, yes, you know those brethren. We're going to accept you. And again, by your fruit, their fruit, you shall know them. So be on guard, be cautious, keep that whole armor of God on you, prepared for those darts and arrows of the adversary. So in the last of these sayings, Jesus warns that a mere profession of love is not enough. Or as people have to show that their love is genuine and searching their heart and saying for all of us, again, let me trust in thee, Father. Guide me, direct me, show me the path. These sayings will enter into, again, those kingdom of God, those who keep these sayings. At Pentecost, the apostles were filled in with many details. These sayings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and the greatest principle of all, divine will, the superstructure of Christian character, the blessed all those who follow implicitly, these instructions in the sermon, which we have seen and let our light shine. So an example each day of devotion, love, and understanding. You're not going to find it out in the world. So this zeal, again, having that mind to work, it's an application of these things we studied on. No task is too great or too small. And one time I was doing some things at a convention. A brother came up to me and said, you're an elder. That's deacon's work. You shouldn't be doing that. I'm not judging that brother. But I searched my heart. Am I doing these things to be shown that I can do these things? Or am I sincerely helping those who I come and talk to, in contact with? So he directs our work. He wants us to lift up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus every day. And it's an arduous and long undertaking, 1 Peter 1:13. And so, important to remember the saying of mine, which are to keep, and in keeping them, they build our house on the rock. And we prepare. When you're going to build a house, you get the things ready, right? You get the site ready. You get the materials ready. You get yourself ready. Are you equipped to do this work? And so that's the way The adversary said, no, you're not. You better just take a rest. Let somebody else do that. Let somebody else help in the meetings. Let's have somebody else build upon this rock, and we'll just go and enjoy the fruits of their labor. So these sayings, again, you keep them and keep them solidly in your heart. Ambassadors for Christ, showing the way that we want to follow daily. And again, the greatest objective, what is that? Well, of course, it's to make your calling and election sure, but the chief objective with that is to help bring blessings to all the families of the earth. And we rely on these things, the Heavenly Father, the precious promises of God. Do you have a special promise that is in your mind as you think of this? I'm sure we all have a promise that's really closer to our heart. And we want to realize that that'll come to fruition because all these promises of God are made by our Heavenly Father and with justice, wisdom, love, and power. One of my favorites was, the lame man shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. That's because probably of my profession in helping those with damaged minds and bodies and so forth. So they'll sing. They'll sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, which will help to teach if we're faithful unto death. So we're admonished by Paul that we want to have much work and to zealously do that work. But there's one body, many members, every member of that, of another loves one another, having gifts according to the grace which is given to them. And really ministering to the church, sacrificing, teaching, learning, developing, sharing what you know with others. Romans 12, 5 to 8. And that's really letting our light shine. An application that we're not afraid of the darkness because we're, again, since darkness hates the light, we have to overcome that fear and do it through love. Paul adds, do not be slothful in business, but be fervent in spirit. Seek the Lord each day. Romans 12, 11. So this business really is referred to, is outlined in these words of Paul. Fervent in spirit, which is Paul's way of describing that zeal for the work. He had a mind to work. He recalled the things in Nehemiah's time that they did. He had a mind to work, and what did Paul do? He faithfully went about his whole life after his conversion to serving the Heavenly Father, the truth, and the brethren. So in our own lives, everyone doesn't speak at the platform. Everyone's not an elder or a deacon, but there's always something in your ecclesia that you can do. You can pray. You can call. You can send cards of hope and encouragement, emails, tracts, booklets, and so on, as we see out in the hallway. And you take those, some brethren have them with them all the time, and they give them out. And what a good example of having a mind to work, looking for opportunities to do the Heavenly Father's will and doing the best they can. So our work is keeping these sayings and then showing one another in that beautiful way of being co-laborers together with one another and with our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. You keep them, you prepare yourself. And again, for glory, honor, and immortality, that's your goal, to see the Lord face to face, to see him as he is. And this would, again, be the culmination of the sayings of our Lord in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. Ambassadors for Christ, laying down your life, being a good example, being a loving, kind, considerate parent, sister, brother, head of the family, and so forth. And so we want to keep these each day because we see concerning the broad gate, the broad way that leads to destruction, and the small gate and narrow way, which leads to life, and few there be that find it. But when you do find that gate, you have a mind to work, not only in yourself, but in helping others in your class. We have a wonderful ecclesia in Orlando. If you have a problem with your house or something, 2 days later, brethren show up to help you with it. No, they're giving up their time, their talents. Is that the way also? Not just for these material things, but giving your all in service to the Lord, in love for the brethren. And again, that we can hear that well done, good and faithful servant from Matthew 25:21. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So each of us has a commission to study the word of God. And a person told me at work one time, well, I read the Bible from cover to cover. What did you understand of it? I just enjoyed reading. But not judging that person, but you apply the things that you study and read and you apply them each day. So these sayings of mine come from the Heavenly Father through His Son. That we can be faithful unto death. Again, follow me, take up your cross, walk in my footsteps, and you'll be blessed with, as we mentioned, glory, honor, and immortality. So keep these sayings of the Lord in your heart, but show them forth to those you come in contact with, brethren. That's my desire. I often fall short of that, but I want to do the best I can. So Lord be with you. I love you. May the Lord add his blessing.